We're delighted to have today preaching in chapel Pastor Cary Grant. He is pastor of Refuge Baptist Church in Cumming, Georgia. His wife, Paula, is also here today. His son, Drew, is a sophomore, and they have a high schooler by the name of Kyle. And so we are delighted to have him today. He has a background in evangelism, travels as an evangelist for 10 years, then served in a church or two, and in recent years has planted Refuge Baptist Church and now serves as pastor there. Pastor Cary Grant.
Good morning. Let's go to Psalm 46 today, please. The 46th Psalm. While you're turning, let me say it is a privilege to be here today. I've been praying for this opportunity. Let me tell you how I've been praying. I've been praying that God would help me help you. I'm going to share some things with you today that God has taught us over the last several months. I'll be honest with you, this last spring and this last summer were some of the deepest waters my family and I have ever walked through. But God was there. There were times of tremendous discouragement, unanswered questions, hurt, betrayal. But I want to say to you today, God is good. Some of you have gone through times like that. Maybe even now, you have no answers, at least none that make sense to you, for why you are experiencing the things that you are. You don't know why the school bill isn't being paid. You don't know why your parents are having the struggles that they have. You don't know why you personally are suffering. You're sick. You have physical difficulties, and you don't know why. And you've even asked God to show you, and no answers there. Look at verse number 10. We're going to work our way through the entire psalm, but let me just start out by reading a text that you know, a verse that you probably already are familiar with, but one that needs to be an anchor for us today. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Now, would you bow your heads with me just a moment, please? Every head bowed and every eye closed. I'd like to ask you something. How many of you would admit to me today, Cary, I have gone through things in my past. The deep waters that you talked about, the struggles, the hardships, the trials. I have gone through things like that in the past, and I still don't know why God allowed those things. If that's the case in your life, would you slip your hand up right now? Our hands all over the building. Thank you. You can put those down. Now, let me ask it this way. How many of you going through something like that right now? Would you slip your hands up, please? Wow. Thank you, Father. Thank you for being good. Thank you for always loving us. Thank you for the anchor of your word, the stability that it can bring to our lives. Father, I cannot do this effectively without your help. I pray your word would do its powerful work today. Help me to help those here that you know need the help. And glorify yourself. And we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Psalm 46 is sometimes called Luther's Psalm, Martin Luther. This psalm was the catalyst for his famous hymn, A Mighty Fortress is Our God, especially based upon that first verse, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. As a matter of fact, before the psalmist goes through and explains to us how God can help and when God helps us, he starts us off by explaining to us the foundation for the help that God can bring to our lives. He says that God is our refuge. We're going to call that our shelter. Our shelter. You ever been through a violent storm? I remember as a child, we had a damaging severe ice storm come through North Georgia, believe it or not. And I remember in my home hearing the trees breaking in half, and I remember the power going out, and I remember as a child being scared. But there was something about being in the presence of parents and in the safety of a home. God is our shelter. He is the one to whom we can run in the times of storm. He is the one that can cover us and protect us when the waves of the sea of life are roaring around us. The problem is many times we run to other shelters. We try to build our own. We try to make our own way. We try to pull up our bootstraps and get through this thing. And yet God is just waiting for us to realize how much we really do need Him. He's our shelter. The verse goes on and says He's our strength. I'm reminded of Isaiah chapter 40 and verse number 31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You may be right now at the point in your life with the trials that you're struggling with, you may be right now completely exhausted. No spiritual strength left, and maybe even no physical strength left to deal with the trials you're struggling with. God is our strength. As a matter of fact, you may remember the Old Testament character Nehemiah. Nehemiah was a man who knew what trials were all about. He knew what betrayal was all about. He knew struggles, trying to do the work of God, trying to rebuild the walls around the city of Jerusalem. And he's getting opposition from outside enemies. He's also getting opposition from people on the inside who should be helping him. And yet there are those who are standing against him, resisting him. And how did he respond to his trials? How did he respond to his betrayal? He said it this way, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." But some of us today have lost our joy. Verse 1 also says that God is our very present help. We'll say support in trouble. The word rendered here has the idea of having been found. Having been found. In other words, the psalmist says, now think about history. Think about times in the past where God has proven himself to be the support, the strength, and the shelter that we all need. And every person in this building who knows Christ as Savior can think and remember of times like that in your life. Even though right now you may not be experiencing that, you have at some time. Now, some of those experiences of God's shelter and God's strength and God's support may not have been in situations as serious or as painful as you're dealing with right now. But every one of us knows that God is a very present help in trouble. How do we know that? Because He took us into His family. That's the safest place to be. And let me just pause a moment and say this. If you're not part of God's family, we want you to be. We beg you, come to Christ. You need Him. Please don't waste your life by losing your soul. Come be a part of the family of God. Find the shelter, the place of safety. Find the strength you need to deal with life. And then when you face trials and struggles, can look back and say, I've seen God do it in the past, and I know He can take care of me now. The psalm is actually divided up for us and makes three very good points for a sermon. What I've just gone through is by way of introduction. The psalmist, I believe, introduces us to who God is again, how God can work on our behalf. Now he begins to explain how all that applies to our life. Beginning in verse number 2, he begins to describe for us some calamities. He says there, therefore we will not fear. In other words, based upon what we've said about God already, we don't need to fear. Even though, now look at the things he describes here, even though the earth be removed and the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Now I think the picture the psalmist is trying to paint for us here is the fact that the earth and the mountains surrounding the earth, on the earth, are symbols of stability and security. Now, we know that God holds creation in His hand. By Him, all things consist. He holds it all together. There are times that the earth shakes. We call them earthquakes. There are times when we see mountains explode. We call those volcanoes. But the earth and the mountains are symbols of stability and security. And the psalmist says, even though the earth and the mountains change or collapse, we don't have to fear. Now, what's going on in your life right now that you never thought would happen? I mean, how many of us, we know that God one day is going to shake things up again. We read about that in the book of Revelation. But right now in your life, what's being shaken up? What security you have been depending on? What security has been removed from you? What has caused you in your life, the stability that you had, what has caused that to be ripped away so that now you feel absolutely helpless? Whatever that is, whatever is causing your security and stability to shake, you can find a refuge in God. But look at verse number 3. Verse number 3 says, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. The picture here is that, yes, the earth is changing. It's being removed, the mountains are shaking and quaking, and the waters are roaring against those mountains, and it's eroding the foundation of the those mountains, and they're crumbling. In other words, there's a steady assault. You know, sometimes it's easy for us to handle trials and difficulties because they come to an end. We can see the proverbial light at the end of the tunnel. But then there are some trials, there are some struggles that are a steady assault against our life. In your life right now, you may be saying something like this: it just couldn't get any worse. And then you find out it can. I can't take much more. Can I say this to you? We've all heard the statement that God will never give you anything that you can't handle. That is not true. God will very often give us things we can't handle to show us that He can. And that we need Him to do it for us. We can't do it ourselves. So there's security torn away, stability torn away. There's a steady assault. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place for the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Here's our comfort. The first few verses, beginning in verse number 2 down in verse 3, are the calamity. Beginning in verse 4 down to verse 7, the comfort. And three things we see here. First of all, we see God's presence. God's presence. He is in the midst. He's there. We also see that He has perfect timing. He comes right early. He comes when He chooses. He comes when He knows it's best to intervene. And then we see God's power. As a matter of fact, I think this section of the song helps us. We will find help here. If we go back and look what could be, now we don't know this for sure, but what could be the story behind the psalm. Again, we don't know this for sure, but it seems to be that this psalm goes back in history to the time of King Hezekiah. As a matter of fact, I'm going to ask you to go in your Bibles with me back to 2 Kings chapter 18. 2 Kings 18 and 19 tell us this story, but also Isaiah 36 and 37 fills in some details for us. But we're going to focus on the part of the story we find in 2 Kings 18 and 19. Hezekiah has been on the throne. He is now being assaulted, that steady assault, by the king of Assyria. And Assyria is a formidable foe. They've already conquered many cities. As a matter of fact, they've even taken Samaria, the northern kingdom. And now they're coming on Jerusalem. They've taken some cities around Jerusalem. And now they're besieging this city of Jerusalem. Hezekiah needs help. As a matter of fact, we could call this a crisis of trust. Let me just point out several things here. And again, keeping in mind these three things, God's presence, God's perfect timing, and God's power. In verse number 5 of chapter 18, we find out something about Hezekiah that I hope can be said of all of us. What is it? Verse 5, he trusted in the Lord God of Israel. Now, can we say that about us? I think the answer is simply this. Sometimes, right? Sometimes. Sometimes it's very easy to trust. But God can be trusted all the time. Why? God is good all the time. He loves me all the time. He wants the best for me all the time. He will never leave me nor forsake me at any point in my life. The dark waters we went through, He carried us. Sometimes it's easy to trust God. Sometimes it's very hard. Look at Hezekiah's crisis of trust. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. Verse 6, for he clave unto the Lord. The word clave there, he held fast to the Lord. As a matter of fact, we will see that the longer the assault went on, that cleaving began to loosen a bit, as it does sometimes in our lives. He clave unto the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord God commanded Moses. And the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth. And he rebelled against the king of Assyria and served him not. So there is the beginning of the issue. Hezekiah has been a great king. He has even destroyed the brazen serpent that miraculously healed many of the children of Israel. It had become an idol, and he did away with idolatry. He was a good and godly man himself. He was an example of trusting God. And now he's facing a crisis of trust. One of the things that Hezekiah does is he tries to work things and manipulate things so he can deal with this thing on his own. He can placate to the king of Assyria, Sennacherib. He can try to make him happy. He even goes to the extent of removing some of the gold on the columns in the temple, and he sends that to Sennacherib. That's not enough. So everything he tries fails. Sound familiar? Now, let me say, I do believe that God wants us to do everything that we can do. But there are some things, folks, and you know this, there are some things where God says, let me do this. There was no way Jerusalem could withstand an attack by this powerful army of Assyria. Another issue related to this crisis of trust was that one of Sennacherib's generals kept sending messages to Hezekiah. Why are you trusting in a God that didn't help any of these other cities? We conquered them and we're coming for you. You know, sometimes our trust can be eroded because of bad advice. The people we're listening to. And so let me just advise it this way. God has the answers. You say, but why hasn't he shown me yet? Hang on, we'll answer that in a little while. Make sure you're trying to find out what to do. Make sure you're trying to find out what God is doing in your life from the source itself, himself. So he had outside pressure. He tried to work things out on his own. But it just didn't work. And finally, after trying everything he could, he goes to the Lord in 2 Kings 19. Go there with me. 2 Kings 19, verse number 15 says this. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims, thou art God, even thou alone of all the kingdoms of the earth, that thou hast made heaven and earth. Go down to verse number 19. Now, therefore, O Lord, our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know, get this, that they may know that thou art the Lord God. There's the answer. We spend our time wanting to know, why, God, why is this happening to me? We're looking for answers that satisfy us. This answer should. Anything God allows in your life, anything. I'm not in any way trying to minimize your trials. Some of you have been betrayed by people you trusted. Some of you have been abused. Some of you have lost things or people very precious to you. God has allowed some things in your life. God has brought some things into your life. And the overall umbrella reason for anything that we go through, from the smallest of our trials to the most difficult, is because God is working in our lives so that our lives become a declaration of His glory. That is why we live. So God comes on the scene. Actually, He's been there the whole time. When Hezekiah has tried everything he can, God says, let me take care of it. And so God demonstrates His power in a very mighty way. He sends an angel and 185,000 of the army of Assyria fall on their own swords. Destroy one another. Go back to Psalm 46 with me, though, and I want you to keep in mind what we've just discussed and look at the title of the psalm. Psalm 46, the title, to the chief musician for the sons of Korah, a song upon Alamoth. The word Alamoth apparently refers to either an instrument that plays on a higher scale or soprano voices. One of the things that God said in answering Hezekiah's prayer for deliverance in 2 Kings 19, verse 21, he said, "This is the word of the Lord spoken concerning him. She despises you. She scorns you. The virgin daughter of Zion. She wags her head at you." The title of this psalm and the word Alamoth, the root of that word, is the same word we find in Isaiah 7:14. "Therefore, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son." My point is this. It's almost as if God is saying, "Hezekiah, you know what I can do? I can take the soprano section of the temple choir and destroy this army if I wanted to. Not because they were tough women, but because God is powerful. Let God be God in your life. Let God do what He knows is best in your life." Let's go on now and look at the conclusion of this song. Beginning in verse number 8, "Come behold the works of the Lord, what desolations He hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." Let's just call this the conclusion. Again, with the steady onslaught of the trials, with the stability and the security knocked out from under your life, God is there. And God can do and will do what He knows is best in your life. And when you seem to not be able to figure out, or when you cannot figure out why this is happening, maybe think about Paul. Paul asked God 3 times to take away a thorn in his flesh. And God said, "No, Paul, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do something better. I'm going to give you grace, because you know what, Paul? Your strength is made perfect in weakness." And Paul says, "I'll take the trial that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Are you willing to go through that so that you can have the power of Christ on you? Maybe you need to remember that your trial will help you to comfort others just like you've been comforted. There are other reasons that God gives us. He's trying to work the likeness of His Son in our lives, make us live and look like Jesus. But look at verse 10. What is He saying? "Be still." That word "still," I think, pictures for us something that all of us can recognize. Maybe in your trials, you're at the pacing point, trying to figure out how all this is going to work out. Maybe you're even wringing your hands. Maybe you're just at the point of just almost giving up because you don't know what to do. This word "still" literally means relax. So here it is. You're wringing your hands. Know God. Know He's here. God, I know You love me. God, I know You're going to take care of me. I'll be still. The word also has the idea of refraining. Stop trying to work things out on your own and let God be God. Let God do what He knows is best. Let God work His will in your life. And when that happens, He will be exalted. You'll be a better soul winner. He'll be exalted among the heathen. Your life will be a living gospel story. And your lips will just back up how you live. God will work in your life in such a way that you can bring Him greater glory than you ever have in your life. Hundreds of you raised your hand that you are going through things right now, that you've gone through things in the past. Anchor your soul on verse number 10. And remember, God loves you. God will never leave you. God only does what is good. God only does what is right. God only does what is best for us. God does what He knows will work Christ's likeness in us and through us. He can be trusted. Let's stand for prayer, please. Father, I pray that You would take Your word now and anchor us there. I pray that You would use this to Your glory in all of our lives. Use our trials, our hardships, to Your glory in all of our lives. Teach us who You are. Help us to know that You're God. You love us. You'll never fail. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.